Sometimes in life you hear people making very bold claims. I think straight away of the famous boxer Muhammad Ali, who said, "I am the greatest." People raised their eyebrows and laughed. But he was heavyweight champion of the world, an unparalleled five times. I suppose he was the greatest boxer. Another bold claim we heard back in May of this year, David Cameron saying, "I'm going to win the general election." And people scoffed really and said, "No party can win this general election." And then he did. Well, Jesus Christ must be the most loving person ever to live, and also the most humble person ever to walk on the face of this earth. And yet he too made some very bold claims, and he made them to grab our attention and to make us think. Today's passage contains one of his boldest sayings of all, the start of the gospel reading that we heard, John 6:35. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." What a thing to say. Well, in a way, today's gospel reading is quite simple. The everyday analogy with bread is something that even a child can grasp. But in another way, there are such depths in this reading that we'll never get to the bottom of them. So I want to ask three questions of the reading this morning. The first is, what did Christ mean when he said, "I'm the bread of life"? It's a good question, isn't it? The second is, what does it mean to come to him and believe in him, as he invites us to do? And the third question is, what is this life that he speaks of and offers? So first of all, what does Christ mean when he says, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty"? Well, he must mean that just as bread meets our needs for physical life, so he meets our needs for eternal life. Or to put it another way, just as bread gives us life in the body, so he came to give us life with God. Just think for a moment about how important bread is. I guess many of us will have had bread already today, or if not today, perhaps yesterday. But in Jesus' culture, bread was absolutely vital for life. We have all sorts of different carbohydrates today. Rice, pasta, potatoes, noodles, chips, bird's eye waffles, tofu cubes. I mean, that's just what I had yesterday for my lunch. There are all sorts of carbohydrates available today. But in Jesus' day, bread was the one staple they had. It was essential. It was vital. Without bread, you would die. So we see the boldness of what Christ is saying here. He's saying he's vital. He's essential for life with God. Without him, well, our souls are turned away from God. Our sins, our rebellion against God, separates us from the life of God. When he says, "I'm the bread of life," he's saying that he's essential. He's vital for life with God. But he's also saying, wonderfully, that he gives us everything that we need for life with God. In those days, if you had bread, you could relax. You had everything you needed for life. Well, in the same way, Christ is saying that he came down from heaven, he gave his flesh, he gave his life for the life of the world when he died for our sins, so that in him we have all we need for life with God. If we're hungry for forgiveness, if we're hungry for love, for security, for purpose, if we're hungry for something that lasts in this life where everything else seems to spoil and fade, if we're hungry for connection with God who made us, when Christ says, "I am the bread of life," he's saying that he is all we need for that spiritual life. Yes, he must mean as well when he says, "I'm the bread of life," that he's available to all. Some foods are just for the rich. Your caviar, your smoked salmon. But bread is available to prince and pauper alike. And so Christ is available to us all, whatever our condition. And he must mean as well that we need him daily. Just as in that culture, every day people would eat bread, So we need Christ each day to know the forgiveness, the love, the strength of God in our lives. So that's what he means when he says, I am the bread of life. He means that we need him for eternal life, just as we need bread for physical life. But he also means if we come to him, we have all we need for life with God. So it's a wonderful promise. It's also a huge claim to make, isn't it? Imagine being there and hearing Jesus appearing to be a man like anyone else, saying, I am the bread of life. It stretches our view of what Christ came into this world to do. Not just to show us a better way to live. He's saying, no, I've come that you can have life. I've come down from heaven so that you can have life with God. Anyone else saying that, we'd have to dismiss it as madness, as an exaggeration. But the logic of the Christian faith is we look at Christ's life, his constant humility, always putting other people first. We think of his miracles, his resurrection from the dead, and we conclude that when he says it, well, he's stating the simple truth. He is the bread of life, the living bread come down from heaven, that we might have life with God again. So that's what he means, something of what he means, with this extraordinary statement, I am the bread of life. Second question is, what does it mean to come to Christ and believe in him? That's what he invites all his hearers to do. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty, verse 35. But what does it mean? Well, to come to Christ, first of all, means to realize our need. To realize that we need a Savior to bring us forgiveness of sins, to bring us back to God. And then having realized our need, to come in heart and mind to Christ himself and to depend on him to do what he's promised and give us life with God. We actually use that kind of faith in daily life all of the time. Take as one example, going to the doctors. I hesitate to use this example because I know that many people don't really like going to the doctors, but it is a good parallel. First of all, you realize your need, that you're ill and you can't cure yourself. And then you go to the doctor personally, and then you depend on him or her to make you better. That's what it means to come to Christ and believe in him, to realize our need for him, in heart and mind to come to him and to depend on him to give us that spiritual life. Notice that all through this gospel reading, Christ invites us to come to him. So not just to come to church, not just to come to the Bible, not just to come to a renewed effort to live a new life, but to come to him personally in our souls and depend on him. Now, one of the shocking things in the reading is that many of those who were there with Christ, who saw him feed the 5,000 just before, who heard his words, refused to come to him, didn't put their faith in him. So he says in verse 36, but as I told you, you've seen me, and still you do not believe. How shocking. They were so close to Jesus. They were right there with him, and yet they wouldn't come to him in faith. We find out later in the reading that the reason why was they were put off by Christ's humble life. They were saying, look, we know this guy's parents. We know where he used to live. How could he say, I came down from heaven? How could he say, I'm the bread of life? Well, still today, it's sadly possible to be very close to the things of Christ, close to church and the Bible and so on, but not to come to him personally in faith. In fact, Jesus says in verse 44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. We actually need God's work inside us, opening our eyes to see the truth about Jesus, which we'd closed our eyes to, softening our hearts, which we'd turned away from God, to come back to him. So that's why we pray for ourselves, if we're not there yet, for those who are dear to us, that God would draw them to Christ, work in them, to bring them to that faith in Christ. Jesus speaks very warmly in this reading of the security that all who have come to him enjoy. He says in verse 37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. There's a promise there in verse 37 that has been a great comfort to many people over the centuries in life and in death. Whoever comes to Jesus, whoever we are, whatever we've done, he will never drive us away. Verse 39, this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of them he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. That's what it is to come to Christ, to realize our need, to come to him personally and depend on him to give us that life with God. And it brings us that security of knowing that he will never drive us away. He will never lose us, but keep us until the last day. So he says, I'm the bread of life. He invites us to come to him. Last question I want to ask of this passage is, what is the life that he speaks of? What is the life that Christ gives to all those who come to him? Let me read verses 47 to 51 and ask yourself as we do that, what is this life that Christ is speaking of? He says, I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The life that Christ speaks of is eternal or everlasting life. Now, when we speak of eternal life today, many people say, that's very vague. What on earth are we talking about? Others find it unbelievable. We've never seen eternal life. How can we believe in this? Still others find it undesirable. Some say, I've had enough of life living all these years in this life. Why would I want eternal life? Well, this is where the teaching of John's Gospel helps us. Because in the Gospel of John, eternal life is always life lived in relationship with God. Later in the Gospel, in chapter 17, verse 3, Jesus says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So eternal life is a life of knowing God, or of having fellowship with God. Knowing God's character, knowing his ways, enjoying the love of God, knowing the comfort of God, finding the Bible to be a living book, guiding us in how God wants us to live, and finding his Spirit, a living strength within us, helping us live that way. Knowing that God is with us in good times and bad. Eternal life is simply a life knowing God who made us. And actually, we see in Jesus' words here that that life begins now, in this life, when we come to him. That's why he says in verse 47, I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. Not will have, but has. When we come to Christ, we receive that life now. And amazingly, eternal life, since it's a life in relationship with God, who is eternal, is a life that cannot be snuffed out, even by death itself. That's why he says in verse 50, here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. If we have that fellowship with God, it continues even through the end of this life. And did you notice three times at least in our reading, Christ says, I will raise them up on the last day. Strange words that we don't think about as often as we should. But we say in our creed that we believe in the resurrection of the body. And that's what Christ is promising here. Our bodies in this life, well, they wear out and they stop working. But the Christian is looking forward to Christ raising us on the last day with a new, restored, resurrected body. I searched on the internet this week for products and companies offering life at its best. What do you think I found searching for that? Quite a few of them were holiday companies. So you can imagine the photos offering life at its best at their beautiful resort in Skegness or in the Seychelles or wherever it was. The other companies offering life at its best was do healthy eating and dieting. So apparently by signing up for their diet plan, I could enjoy life at its best, which I was highly skeptical of. And the third way of having life at its best, according to my internet search, was rural living, which I guess many of us enjoy. But actually, what Christ speaks of here in the Gospels when he says everlasting life truly is life at its best. A life of knowing God our Creator, knowing his character, knowing his love, knowing his presence with us, that starts now when we come to Christ. It's not just imagined, but continues beyond death, and that culminates, we can't even imagine it, in the resurrection of the body on the last day. So we hear some big claims in life. Muhammad Ali, the boxer, I'm the greatest. The Prime Minister, I am going to win the general election. But here is a far bigger one of eternal significance. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. As I hinted, many, perhaps most, who heard him that day scoffed and grumbled and left with nothing. But there were those then, and those in every age since, who have come to him and received that life of knowing God. So let's use our communion service this morning so we remember all Christ did for us in his love, to come to him afresh in our hearts and depend on him. And just as we eat bread every day, we eat something every day. Let us come to Christ, not just today, but every day. Let's come to him each day to find the forgiveness, the love, the security, the strength, the comfort, the purpose, the relationship with God that we need. And like children who have found a bakery stuffed full of delicious bread and with a baker out for lunch, let us rejoice that we have found in Christ the bread of life who gives us all that we need, who meets every need for life with God now and forever. Amen.